Welcome to the Pragmatic Podcast for April 8th, 2008. Chad Fowler, the passionate programmer.
It's almost like there are two job markets going on at the same time. There is the huge one that most people are a part of, where people get laid off and then they go through the usual channels of looking for work, submitting their resume, all that sort of stuff. And then there's this other kind of top-tier job market that you want to be part of, which is basically you are so in demand that companies are waiting for the chance to get at you. And to do that, people have to know who you are.
That's Chad Fowler, author of The Passionate Programmer. I'm Daniel Steinberg, and this week, editor Susanna Falzer talks to Chad about his book on creating a remarkable career. This is the first book in our Pragmatic Life series. You might remember back a while ago, we interviewed Prag co-founder Dave Thomas, and he explained that the Pragmatic Bookshelf was designed to make developers' lives better. A couple of years ago, Dave, Andy Hunt, and I started talking about the rest of a developer's life, the time that they're not at work. Fortunately, as we began crafting the Life series, it was time for a second edition of Chad's book on living a fulfilling professional and personal life, and that's what we decided to launch the series with. Susanna begins the interview by asking a bit about the first edition and what's new since then.
The original title was obviously meant to be kind of a joke. It was actually my job went to India, and the subtitle was, "And all I got was this lousy book," which Dave and I thought was really funny when we came up with the name. But it turned out turning some people off, and with good reason. You know, we had a picture on the cover of a guy who was out of work, and the whole idea was people are losing their jobs to offshoring, and they were afraid, and they needed advice on how to save their jobs. But it turned out that the actual content of the book from the very beginning was not about saving your job at all, and certainly not about being afraid. It's about doing remarkable work and having ultimately a remarkable professional life. The original title just did a really poor job of communicating that. So a lot of people, I think, looked at it and thought, well, I don't need to save my job because I'm not like that. And I personally have never been afraid of losing my job, and I tend to think that fear-motivated career choices are bad usually anyway, so it's just really kind of a silly mistake on our part to ever have named it that. So a lot of the content is the same because, you know, as I said, it's always been about creating a remarkable career. And the new focus of the book is all about that and removing all of the stuff where I kind of pandered to offshoring fears. That was always kind of forced anyway. I mean, I had experience in India, which was why I liked the original title and focus of the book. It was based on my experiences in India. But my experiences there, though I was leading an offshoring center, were more about how they developed me in my career than how India was pit to compete with the United States. The book kind of removes all that focus, and I've added a bunch of new content that is more about building something remarkable for yourself and focused on winning and not so much focused on losing, which I think was what the mistake we made previously with the title.
Let's take one of the words from your new title, which is passionate. Could you talk a little bit about how developers can approach their career choices in this passionate way?
The word passion comes from what I think is the primary ingredient in building a remarkable career. Most developers, and really I think most people who have jobs, go into their careers by coincidence. They major in something in college that sounds like a smart idea to them because they think they might get a job doing it. They learn what they're told to learn in the university. They get out, they go to work, and they do what they're told to do, and they learn what they're told to learn at work. You know, it's kind of like drifting down a stream without a paddle, just going wherever the stream takes you. That's not going to get you very far in terms of making a remarkable career for yourself. That's going to maybe keep you employed, maybe not. If you're really good, then it probably will. But I think the key ingredient in creating a remarkable career is having passion. And it's something that I think I brought over from the start of my career, which was as a musician. Musicians don't ever get into music because they think they're going to make good money doing it and have a stable job. Musicians get into music because they want to be famous and they want to be great and they want to make an impact. And most of them are naive or arrogant enough to think that they're actually going to, which I think is probably a virtue. And so I kind of grew up professionally around people who were all driven to do something great. And it turned out that most of us didn't do much great at all. We just played in bars and made $50 a night and then went home and played with our computers and that sort of thing. You know, it's that passion that is necessary if you want to be one of those great musicians or great artists or great software developers. You have to actually care about what you're doing, and you have to proactively learn. And the only way to learn is to be excited about something, to really learn and to master something. So really the advice in the entire book is about how to cultivate passion, how to use that passion intelligently to drive good career choices that will get you to be able to do more and more exciting things that will then, again, kind of create this feedback loop of increased passion.
Well, and you know, the other side of that passion is also living with intention.
I actually got this idea from the book, The Pragmatic Programmer. They talk about programming by coincidence. And I remember reading about this and thinking, oh yeah, I know exactly what that feels like. It's when you're sitting and you haven't really fully grasped the technology that you're trying to use or grasped the problem you're trying to solve. And you're kind of being lazy as a programmer. And so you just sort of start typing stuff and trying to run it until eventually it works. And then when it does, you know, it works, but you have zero confidence in it. Most programmers can relate to that because we've all been there. We've all been lazy or ignorant at some point, right? And so to me, as I started thinking about what made my career different, I realized that a lot of it is not allowing myself to do anything in my career by coincidence in that way. So I don't allow myself to be ignorant about the forces that shape and drive my career, or the, you know, the technologies or the businesses that I'm in, all that sort of stuff. And so, you know, only through having intention can you actually get something special to come out the other side when you're trying to work on software or yourself or whatever. I don't think this idea of intention is just applicable to your career or just applicable to work. I have been, for years, floating down the stream of not being physically in shape. You know, I was quite overweight, and I didn't want to be. Nobody wants to be overweight. But I realized that I wasn't really doing anything to drive it. You know, I was kind of disappointed to discover that I would gain weight or whatever. And so recently I've taken the same approach and applied it to my health. And just a little bit of intention can go a really long way, even with that. And so I went from something that seemed insurmountable, and people who are overweight know how this feels. You know, you're overweight and it just feels like there's no way that I'm going to be able to get in shape because it's so difficult. But it turned out to be really easy. I took that same sort of intention-driven approach and got rid of doing things by coincidence. It turned out to be really easy to get in pretty good shape for the first time in my life.
Talking about getting in shape and talking about intention, it ends up being about more than our careers, more of a way of life that we are changing our outlook in general rather than just focused on that next job.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Even if you're just talking about the job, how much time do you spend working? I don't remember the statistic, but I found something that I put in the book, and it was some amazing amount of time that most people in the United States who are adults spend working relative to everything else. It was by far the winner. So, you know, even if you just improve your career, you are in effect improving your life. The thing is, you do need to realize as you're working on your career, and it's something that I have lost sight of many times, and I'm working on correcting it again now. You need to realize that all of this is about living your life and being happy, really, being happy and healthy and, you know, taking care of your family and all that. And the career is just a component of that. The things that apply to improving your career, if you're doing it right, should definitely apply to improving your life or your health, you know, even your ability to do your hobbies or whatever it is you're excited about outside of your professional life.
How do we start becoming remarkable or passionate? Like, is there a way that people can change their outlook? Or what would you suggest that would be the first place that readers need to start?
The first thing really is what we've already talked about, which is just introducing intention into the process. But I mean really kind of explicitly introducing it. You know, we all think we want to have better careers, and I know from being at big companies there's a lot of water cooler discussion time spent on, you know, who got what promotion and who should have what job and that sort of thing. But really stepping back and saying, what is it I want to do? And then setting goals and getting systematic about it is the first step. And what I do in the book is I lay out a process that is loosely based on the process you'd go through if you were creating and marketing a product. And the idea is that we are, in a way, since we are components of businesses, we are products that we're selling into businesses when we get jobs or we do consulting work or whatever it is. So you can follow the same steps. And the first one being, you know, actually choosing the market you want to be in. That can mean from a technology perspective or from a business perspective, you know, what domain do I want to work in? And then going through the whole process of then investing in the right things that make you an asset in that market, actually executing well as a software developer, and then learning how to market yourself. Because, you know, if you have a great product and you don't tell anyone about it, you're really doing them a disservice if you really believe in the product. So, and then after marketing, you know, continually keeping yourself up to date. There's a very clear systematic process that you would go through if you were developing a product. Just apply the same thing to your career, and that's what I go into detail on in the book.
And there's a few new things in this edition that weren't in the last one.
I'm really excited to have added these essays, and what they are people that I contacted whose careers strike me as being remarkable in different ways, from young, successful entrepreneurs to software development gurus to people in corporate jobs that have done really well with their careers. And I just asked them to write something about what made their careers special. And so, you know, you have a whole range of things from how people chose to radically change directions in their careers, people taking chances, curiosity, learning, all that sort of thing. So it was really exciting for me because I got perspective from people who had already shaped the content of my book and my career, but at this point you get to actually read their words, which I think is really valuable.
And, you know, their stories are really inspiring, and your book is very positive. Of course, now we've got these economic issues, and people are also scared of being laid off. You did say that, you know, if you've got a remarkable career and if you're passionate about what you do, then you don't need to worry as much about losing your job. However, I think people are worried now, and I'm wondering if you could speak to how your book might be able to help people or give them a more positive outlook or maybe help them save their job, even though that's not your intention for this edition.
Sure. Well, at this point, with the economy the way it is, I don't think there's any way to actually bulletproof your job. People are going to be laid off, and it sucks, but that's going to happen. Really, what you can do is put yourself into this situation where, one, if there are layoffs and you're in a big company, say, you'll be one of the people who are essential and, you know, will still be there to take care of things as much as they can be with a reduced workforce. You're the person who can do five people's worth of work, and you and everyone else knows it. It doesn't make sense to get rid of you. It makes sense to get rid of five other people, right? And you know, basically, you're going to be working a lot during the economic downturn, but that's better than not working at all. But then the other thing is just making yourself marketable, and not just marketable, but marketed. So if there were a layoff situation and you did lose your job, or your company folds, or you know, whatever terrible situation might happen, you're not left wondering, now what do I do? I think in this climate, and I know some people who've been laid off, in this climate, going through the traditional mechanisms for searching for a job is really frustrating. I know people who are, you know, submitting application after application and just not getting any responses. But I also know of people who've been laid off and have immediately been swept up because their network is so strong. They already have reputations, and they got laid off due to the reasons people get laid off, you know, not actual job performance, but budget issues. And they've just been swept up immediately by other companies that are looking for people with that skill set. So it's almost like there are two job markets going on at the same time. There is the huge one that most people are a part of, where people get laid off and then they go through the usual channels of looking for work, submitting their resume, all that sort of stuff. And then there's this other kind of top-tier job market that you want to be part of, which is basically you are so in demand that companies are waiting for the chance to get at you. And to do that, people have to know who you are. That's the first thing. And there are a lot of different ways to do that. Kent Beck today actually put out a Twitter message that mentioned this concept of earned media. Earned media means attention that you get because of something that you've done that is newsworthy. You know, maybe you're someone who writes great tutorials on their weblogs or works on open source software, speaks at conferences really well, that sort of thing. But start looking for a way to get some of that earned media attention, because that will help you even if you don't get laid off. You know, that's an essential part of getting to a point of remarkability in your career.
Are there any suggestions that you have from your book that are particularly meaningful for you, that or that have been really meaningful for your career, that you can point out as far as things people might want to look through first as they read your book?
Focus on marketing, I think, is really important. I read something a long time ago, and unfortunately I can't remember where I read it, but it was an article about marketing for people who naturally hate marketers. It was called something like marketing as a moral imperative. And the way that it was framed was that marketing is actually something that you owe people, but only if your product is really good. Imagine you have a service that you can provide where if you do this service for someone, you will save them $100 a month. You have the service, you can do it, you're willing to do it, and it could apply to anyone, but you don't tell anyone about it. Well, the way this article frames it is that you're basically stealing $100 a month, or you're stopping everyone from having that extra $100 a month, or whatever benefit it is you might be providing. So in a way, you're hurting people by not marketing the fact that you can help them in this way. Now, if you truly believe in your product or your service, or, you know, the value you provide as a potential employee to someone, marketing yourself in your career is no different from this. You know, if you really do think you're great, and I don't mean that in some sort of conceited negative way, but, you know, you work hard on yourself, you make a remarkable product out of yourself. If nobody knows that, then you're doing them a disservice because they don't get to benefit from it. That goes for inside and outside of a company that you're in. You can think of it as marketing yourself to potential employers, but there's also the idea of marketing your capabilities inside the company where you work. You know, if you are the person who can knock out a project better and or faster than anyone else, then you're really doing a disservice to your employer by not letting them know that. Or if you have a broad set of skills that could be taken advantage of but aren't, you're doing a disservice to your employer by not letting them know that and not letting them use you to the max. The idea that marketing is an essential and not ugly part of career development, I think, is the number one takeaway that I have from my own career and from the book.
That's Chad Fowler, author of The Passionate Programmer on the Pragmatic Podcast. As always, you can find more information about our books, screencasts, and training at pragprog.com. Our podcasts are at pragprog.com/podcasts, and you can join the discussion at forums.pragprog.com. Also, I've started blogging about our new Pragmatic Life series at praglife.com. The music for this podcast was composed and performed by Andy Hunt. For the Pragmatic Programmers, I'm Daniel Steinberg.